Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we would like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you, to share with you the unsearchable riches of Christ, our risen Lord and our Savior. Amen. I want to encourage you today. I know, according to circumstance and situations, there's much to be discouraged about. Many people are forewarning events are going to take place. Economic collapse, profuse uncertainty, maybe not another presidential election, so forth and so on. The rhetorical jargon will never cease until Jesus Christ returns. But our focus should not be on the events. Our focus should remain on Jesus. Jesus, the one who saved you, the one who redeemed you, the one who brought you out of the miry clay and the horrible pit, the one who placed your feet upon the solid ground, the solid rock, which is none other than Christ our Lord. He should be the focal point for every one of us today, nothing else. You see, Satan is a master at disguising himself, creating delusions, creating circumstances and situations wherein God has nothing to do with. He wants your focus on the things of the world. For that reason, John said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's a lot to be said about things. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul in Acts 22 said, behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Things. My, I ought to get a sermon on things. But we let things distract us. We let things discourage us. We let things keep us from God's presence. And I want to play an old song today, one of my very favorite songs. God is my refuge. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Refuge. What is a refuge? It is a shelter. It is simply a place of trust. Are you in that place with God where you truly trust him? I certainly hope that you are in that place today. He is your shelter. He is your place of trust. Look to him and him only. Amen.
Me to and fro. There's a place of refuge that I can go. He's a shield for every tempest, and he's an anchor that so sure and true. Well, in times like these, oh, it's good for me to know that.
Without Jesus, what would any of us be able to do? Paul in Acts 17:28 said, "In Him, in Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, in Him we live and move and have our being." Our mere existence, because Christ lives. That old gospel song Bill Gaither wrote, "Because He lives, I too can face tomorrow." He does live. He lives in our hearts. Men may abuse us, castigate us, criticize us, find fault in us, But he lives. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Jonah chapter 2, picking back up in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. I find it amazing, for the most part, men lack discipline in their daily lives to pray. Men and women who pray have power and strength in their walk with God. Men and women who pray, their steps are ordered by the Lord, and that keeps them out of personal harm and injury and danger. That's not to say you don't suffer persecution, that you're not attacked by the devil, but prayer keeps you from falling into the snare and the trap of the enemy. The reason so many people are snared and trapped is because they don't take the time to pray about anything. They just react. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge the Lord. He shall direct your path. You must acknowledge the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. When you do not envelop God in your prayer life, you lean to your own understanding. And let me say unequivocally, your understanding is skewed without the Holy Spirit brooding over your prayer life. I said a few programs ago, the Holy Ghost is the restrainer. But prayer is a restrainer in itself. If you will pray about something, God will give you direction. You may very well not do what you intended to do because you simply acknowledged God in your way. The reason most people find their perpetuity in crisis is because they never pray about anything. They just do it. They act on a whim. They act on a caprice. That's exactly what Jonah did. He disobeyed God. He said, I'm going to Tarshish. I'm getting out of here. But the command, the call of God never was changed because of Jonah's disobedience. But when everything else around Jonah was destroyed and crumbling and he saw his eternal destiny lost without God, he then began to pray and talk to God. Prayer. One of the great disciplines, tenets of the early church, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. And spake the word of God with boldness, and spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They prayed, and the power of God failed. People today go to the altars, even if they have an altar call, you don't hear a person say a word. The altar should sound like a birthing room. Travailing, agonizing, weeping, crying, sobbing, hot tears streaming down people's faces, crying out to God. I'm too dignified for that, Pastor Langford. No, you're not dignified, you're dead. Rigor mortis has set in. Bury them. They're dead. I'm amazed as I watch the charlatans, the pretenders. I never witness brokenness anymore in the pulpit. I never witness brokenness, contrition in the pulpit anymore. Every man's eye is dry. Yet Jeremiah 9:1, Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Is there any weeping going on out there today? Psalms 126, 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in mercy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Do you remember what happened to Joseph when he exposed himself to his brethren? They had come back again to get corn. 7 years of famine has taken its hold, and everything is utterly being destroyed around them. They came back to get corn the last time. And he made them bring Benjamin. Genesis chapter 45, it says that Joseph could not refrain himself before them all. And he caused all the men, talking about the Egyptians, he made every one of the Egyptians go out from me. No man stood with him at that point in time, but he stood by himself, and yet his brothers did not know him, and he wept aloud. And it says that the Egyptians and Pharaoh heard his weeping. And he said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? Great God in heaven. Sounds to me like Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and the Father is alive today. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. He's alive. Jesus too wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Weeping. We don't see it anymore. People too proud. People too proud to let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, come all over them and break them down to where they are so broken that tears stream down their eyes. As one fella said, crying will keep your head from swelling and becoming too proud and arrogant. No weeping. No weeping in the church. No weeping in the pulpit. No weeping in the homes, the family altars. Most people don't even have a family altar anymore. It's gone. And that's why as a nation, as a country, as a church, we're so anemic, we're so faint. Jonah said, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee. If we don't start fasting and praying, nothing is going to happen. Franklin Graham has a vision of getting every state to prayer. I don't agree with him on a lot of things. But when a man wants to pray, I'm going to pray. You see, you're not blind, I trust. You're not dumb, I trust. You see the charlatans, the pretenders in the pulpits and in the congressional and political offices are liars, deceivers, and cheaters, and so forth. You see it. Oh, put me in office and I'll turn this thing around. Donald Trump and all of them arrested nothing but bags of wind. Bags of wind. Hot air. The media, the president, the Senate, the Congress, the governors, every one of them. Nothing but liars and cheats and bags of hot iron. That's all. You can't solve this problem with a man. The only way to solve this problem is with God. The Ninevites didn't say, we need another king. We need another ruler. We need different noblemen. No. They started fasting and praying. Why? Because Jonah preached repentance. I'm getting a little ahead of myself today. There'll be no change in this nation. I don't care who you put in there. There'll be no change in America until we start fasting and praying, until we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. We're so pathetic, we can live without revival. We can live without God. We can live without the Word. We can live without the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, you can't live without God and have life and have it more abundantly. It's impossible. I know those are out there who detest, they deplore my preaching. Is this the kind of preaching that will turn a nation around and God will begin to move? This is our last hope. This is our last opportunity. God always gives the last, the last. They'll always be the last. Don't you ever forget that. That's the three things the Spirit has been indelibly burning in my spirit. You're either going to become a goat or a sheep. My God, have I ever witnessed that before? God's giving a chance for intercession. Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. And then God gave a chance for preaching old-fashioned revival and repentance through Jonah to the Ninevites. Those are the three things the Spirit of God is indelibly impressing upon my heart, upon my spirit right now. Sheep or a goat, which will you be? They don't crossbreed. Are you going to pray and intercede? Are you going to cry for repentance and revival? It's up to you. It's not up to me. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to stand before God with clean hands and a pure heart. I'm going to do my part. Are you going to do your part? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to pray? Are you going to cry out to God and say, God, I can't. I'm not going to do anything, God, until you move, God. Psalms 15, listen to me, I'm going to prophesy. I want to prophesy, thus saith the Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, he that worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoreth them that fear the Lord, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. That's who is going to dwell in the holy temple of God. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Not the backbiters, not those that do evil to his neighbor, not those that take up a reproach against his neighbor. I find that Hebrew word there, or Hebrew phrase, taketh up. Verse 3, taketh up means a stinking. How do you like that? Is that pretty? Is that crass enough, coarse enough for you? Stinking. S-T-I-N-K-I-N-G. Something stinks. You know why it stinks? It's dead. It's rotten. When the Holy Ghost does not flow through a person's life, they become stinking and they become dead. If you don't believe it, read Ezekiel chapter 37. There was nothing but a bunch of dead bones. But God said, prophesy. Prophesy to them bones that life might enter into them. The Holy Ghost is the life in the church. The church don't have the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost convicts us of sin and says, you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't go there. You can't be that and be my vessel of honor. You can't do that and be sanctified and meet for my use. No, you can't do that. Compromise, compromise, compromise. I want to say something to the preachers. This is on my heart. I've been in the Bible all day today. You preachers listening to me, who laid their Holy Ghost hands on you and sent you out to preach? Do you hear me? Who laid Holy Ghost hands on you and sent you out to preach according to the New Testament? Well, nobody. I just decided that's what I was going to do. Then you're not called. You're not ordained. You're not anointed. You're not appointed of God, yourself appointed. Got Bible for that? Thank you for asking me. Acts 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucas of Cyrene and Mania, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, actually Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Who laid hands on you and sent you forth to preach? Well, nobody. You had never called. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. What presbytery laid hands on you and anointed you with oil and said, go in the power of the Holy Ghost? 1 Timothy 5:22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins. 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. See, that happened to me twice. Twice I had the elders, the presbytery, to anoint me and lay their hands on me. Once when I was in the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee, a group of ordained Holy Ghost Spirit-filled men put their hands on me. My wife poured oil on us and sent us out. And I turned my license in 2001. Nobody took them. That liar out there says they took them. No, sir, nobody took my license. I gave my license up. I gave them up. They sought them and couldn't get them. I gave them up. After I gave them up, became a non-denominational minister, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart in that storefront building church and said, I want you to bring two ordained Holy Ghost men in this church. Humble yourself in front of this congregation. Let them pour oil on you and anoint you again the second time. Show your congregation you're a man of submission. You're under authority. I did it twice. Why? The Holy Ghost said, show humility. Demonstrate your true calling. When God calls a man, he anoints the man becomes a vessel of honor. He's different than the rest of the people. He's not a wannabe. All you guys out there that claim you're preachers, you hear me clearly. If nobody's anointing you and lay hands on you, you're not a bit more appointed than Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. That's how I'm going to say it. You don't have any spiritual authority. You've usurped it. Self-aggrandizing, self-appointed, self-anointed. But God hasn't put his hand on you. You just chose it as a vocation. Let me tell you, I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't called. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I ran. I tried to dodge God the best I could, but you can't dodge God. God's going to get you one way or the other. We got too many people in the pulpit. God's never once anointed them with the Holy Ghost because it wasn't done by the Word of the living God. Am I too strong for you today? Is this a little bit too rich for you today? A little bit too fiery for you today? I'm not being arrogant. I'm fiery. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I've been praying and fasting. My wife and I, we've been seeking God. God's going to touch. God's going to move. He don't need you. He don't need me to move. He's God. He can do anything. When he said in Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We've gotten away from the totality of the Word of God, and we do it our way. Just like when David went to get the Ark of the Covenant, put it on a stinking cart like the Philistines, and when Uzziah reached out to steady the Ark, the Holy Ghost struck him dead and killed him. David went to prayer. He said, what's wrong, God? He said, only the Levites. Only the Levites will bear the Ark of the Covenant. You got a cow. You got a cart. That's man's way. That's not God's way. That was man's way, and God did not like it whatsoever. Poor innocent man, for the fear of God, reached out to steady the Ark of the Covenant. What did God do? He struck him dead because he wasn't worthy. He wasn't a Levite to touch that Ark. That's why God said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You're not touching the man. You're touching the Holy Ghost, the anointed. I'm not the anointed. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. We just carry that mantle when the Holy Ghost desires to put that on us, touch us, use us. God is still in control of everything. Don't you ever doubt that. Some of you listening to me today, you're discouraged, you're beleaguered, you're infirmed in your body, you've been beat up, you've been badgered, you've been beat down. Let me tell you today, saith the Lord, he's still in control. Don't you fear, don't you doubt, don't you question, don't you back up, don't you bow down. You be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If it means going into the fiery furnace, go. God will be with you in the fiery furnace, amen. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He won't abandon you. He'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world, he said. We're cowards. We're afraid. Men and women of God have never been cowards. They've never been afraid. They stood on the promises of God. Mordecai told Esther, for a time such as this, God has raised you up. 3 days, they neither ate nor drank. They fasted. They sought God. God sent a move of God in their midst. Haman, that worthless piece of trash, the gallows he built to hang the Jews, him and his family were hung on them, not the people of God. The devil plots, he plans, he builds, he schemes, he creates his ploys. Don't you ever forget, God said, wait a minute. I'm still on my throne. Hadn't nobody set me down. Hadn't nobody removed me from my throne. I'm still the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I'm the God of everything. I can do anything. Just speak my word and it'll come to pass. That's the power of God. We are so far from God. This kind of preaching is offensive to people, and all I'm doing is preaching the truth, but it offends people because they're babies. They're immature. They're crybabies. They're on the milk and not on the meat, the word of the living God. And when a preacher comes along and says, thus saith the Lord, it bothers them. Well, it shouldn't. I always want a preacher to dig me up. My problem is finding a preacher that's deep enough to dig. I got to have meat. I got to have some potatoes and some bread. I got to have the bread of life. And this philosophical mess don't do anything for the soul of man, but damn his soul. That's all it does. It damns his soul. Jonah began to pray, and his prayer came into the hearing of God. Notice verse 8. I want you to notice how powerful this verse is. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. those who observe, those who regard lies, do not take heed to their own chastisement. God chastens those whom he loves. Now let me just put it very southerly. God was whipping Jonah's fanny, wearing him out. You say, I don't like that. Had you rather God wear you out or die and go to hell? I'd rather God wear me out. Hebrews 12 and 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I'm a dad. Four times I took the belt to all four of my children. Why? I love them. But if ye be without chastisement, whoever all partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, or as it seemed good to whip us. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When God gets through whipping us, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness. Where's the fruit of righteousness? That's why there is none. Let me say that again. I want you to understand what I just said. That's why there is no peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because we despise the chastening of the Lord, and we've turned into spiritual bastards, and we've walked away from God and said, I don't want that, Lord. This is what I want over here. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. If ye endure chastening, well, I won't endure that, preacher. Paul said the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine. Jesus said, he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. You're going to have to endure the chastening of the Lord, even to the very end, if you're his son or daughter. That's not popular preaching. I don't think I'm running for an office today. I don't think I'll be running for one tomorrow. I've been called, I've been ordained, I've been anointed by God to preach his word, and that's what I do and I will do till I die. Yeah, I was once in the secular world for the Freightliner Corporation as a young man. I'll brag here a little bit. They begged me not to leave, offered me more money, promised me in 2 years you'll be in the front office with a three-piece suit, on with the rest of us. I said, forget it, Jack. I'm called to be a preacher. This is a stepping stone for me. Do what? I said, this is a stepping stone for me. Were there not 20,000 people applied for just 150 jobs, and I got one of them? God gave me this job to get me out of debt, to get my life straightened out so I could go out and evangelize. They look at me like I'm crazy. Martin Snowy, the plant manager, was a Catholic. Well, will another $100 a week satisfy not to walk out the door? I said, no, sir. He said, now, David, you can go to church, and you can be a Sunday school teacher, and you can do all that stuff and still work for the Freightliner Corporation. I said, no, sir. You don't get it. I was called from my mother's womb to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. I can't help it. People always say, One thing about Pastor Langford, get around him for a few minutes, the conversation is going to be on one subject, the Word of God. I hear that all the time. I want to talk about this. I'll talk about cars for a while. I like fast cars, pretty cars, classic muscle cars. I had three of them. I'd rather talk about the Word of God, though, because I sense something when I start talking about Jesus that I don't sense when I talk about cars. I sense the Holy Ghost. I sense the living Word. I sense the power. I sense the anointing. His Word is alive. There's power in the Word of the living God. I love it. I love His Word. My God, I love the Word of the Lord. Hear ye the Word of the Lord. My God, we should shout when a preacher preaches the Word of God. No, we shout when they tell us, send me your $500 offering and God will send you the lottery next week. Silly. When I go to the post office, there ought to be sacks and sacks of mail. That'd be a joke. Ain't never had a sack of mail. Do good to fill up a paper bag. I mean a small paper bag, a 2-pound paper bag. These guys brag about getting 10,000 pieces of mail a month. I'd seen all that in my whole ministry. Because people don't want the truth. Make me feel good, preacher. Seeker-friendly church. What do you want? Dark lights? Strobe lights? You want a show on the stage? Is this what you want? We're going to make it where you like church. Matter of fact, one dear sister wrote me the other day, they played that Star Wars mess in a church in her town. I couldn't believe it. I can't believe some of the stuff people tell me that goes on. Now, she don't go there. But she was telling me about it. I'm like, it's unbelievable. They won't preach the Word because it cuts asunder. It cuts to the bone and the marrow. It cuts to the spirit. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When we forsake the Word of God, we fail to take heed to the things that God is commanding us. Luke 21:34, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart become overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Some of you are so caught up with the cares of this life. You're not caught up in the kingdom of God. You're caught up in the cares of this life. This life will run you raggedy. And how people have time for everything but God amazes me. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Some of you listening to me would be better off to never listen to me. You say, why is that? You're going to be responsible for the word that I'm preaching and putting out there. You're hearing the word of the Lord. Nope, not me. You're hearing the word of the Lord. And you will be held accountable for that word that you hear. Well, nobody preached to me like that at my church, but I had Pastor Langford there for you. I had Pastor Langford there for you to preach in season and out of season with reproof and rebuke and with all longsuffering and with pure doctrine. See, some of these little wannabe preachers, they don't know one thing about what I preached about 15 minutes ago about laying on of hands. They know nothing about the protocol and the principle of the Scripture. They know nothing about it. That's God's way. What did God tell Moses to do to Aaron? This is not something that some man just thought of. He poured oil on his head, and it ran all the way down his beard. He was setting him forth to be the Aaronic priesthood. Oh, excuse me, I know some of you don't understand that because you think you're a preacher when all you are is just a wannabe. Mama called you and daddy tried to send you to cemetery. You come out and said, look, I got a certificate that says I'm a preacher. Well, you got more than I got. I don't even have a certificate. You got more than I got. But I got something that God gave me. It's not on paper. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, their Bible said he opened the Book of Life and the other books. I believe when you look in those books, they're called books that are recording the works of the people's deeds according to their works. Revelation 20 and 12. I was called to be a worker. I was called to be a preacher. And beside my name will be my works that I was called, appointed to do. Jonah's name was called, and the works were to be a messenger of God to preach repentance to Nineveh. The fact is, we fail to take heed. We observe lies. We recognize lies, but yet we honor lies. We see a lie, we still embrace the lie. You see the jackleg on television promising you a fortune if you'll just send him money. See, we tithe on the ministry here. Those of you listening today that claim to be ministers, do you tithe on your ministry? You tithe on your books? You tithe on all of that? Well, we do. We don't say that arrogantly. We just believe if we ask people to sow and to give, we should practice what we preach. If you preach it and don't practice it, you're called a hypocrite. And buddy, did Jesus ever deal with the hypocrites? They were all religious. They were all so-called leaders, religious leaders. But they were nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. That's right. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, and neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. There's preachers stopping people from getting to heaven. Now, they're not God's messengers. They're Satan's messengers. God's messengers want to bring the harvest. They want to reap the harvest. They want souls. Rip Logan called me the other day. He said he wanted to be a George Mueller. George Mueller was 70 years old and traveled around the world three times like a combine reaping souls. He said, Pastor, that's my heart. I want to win souls. I want to teach young people to reap the harvest and win souls as well. See, these charlatans, I mean, let's face it, folks. Do you ever see these guys on television make altar calls and begging sinners to come to pray? I unexpectedly got an invite last Saturday, 11 o'clock, to preach on Sunday. I preached. The first thing I did was make an altar call for sinners. After that, I said, now we'll pray for people in their needs. But I first made an appeal for sinners. First time I've ever preached for the man. First time I've ever been in the man's church. But I went out for the sinner first. See, these preachers are hirelings. They have an agenda. Oh, they look good. They speak good. They sound good. But all they want you to do is just take care of them so they can live a very comfortable life. Call them. Get him on the phone. He's too busy. Always. We do try to call and respond to emails here at the ministry. Now I have people who abuse me and use me and don't support, but they want to shoot me emails every day and, as they say, pick my brain. I told my wife today, I said, start making a list of men and women. That's all they do to us. And we're not going to respond because you're taking my good time for the good people of God, the good wheat. I'm tired of tares taking away from me. Like the Lord told me, you got to figure them out. They're either givers or they're takers. And it's up to you to figure it out, David. So I told my wife, start writing down the names. So when I recognize the name, wad the paper up or won't return the phone call, because all I'm good for is to help you when you're in a crisis. That's all I'm good for. You see, there's a difference when you really live by the word. Instead of observing lying vanities, you forsake lying vanities. But when you're in sin, you observe and in regard and embrace the lying vanities, and you forsake your own mercy. You got it backwards. Jonah had it backwards. God put the torch to him. Said, I'm going to burn you up, buddy. You're going to Nineveh and you're going to preach. Do you hear me? You know, I don't want to be driven. I want to be led. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're called the sons of God. Led. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, Matthew 4:1. It's hard to lead goat, but it's easy to lead the sheep, because the nature is so vastly different. And the sheep go on the right hand and the goat go on the left hand. God's telling me, I'm separating them right now in the Spirit. I'm separating them. God, right now, you listen to me, my time is all but gone. He's taking people out of your life. And I'm going to tell you why. They're goats. They're not sheep. They're goats. And God is taking these people out of your life. Now, you're going to be hurt, and you're going to shed some tears, and you're going to cry, but this is for your betterment. This is for your good. All things do work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Just let God take them out. I don't say that take them out, like bam, bam. Just let God take them out of your life. Just remove them. You say it's going to hurt. God will give you somebody that will bless you and not hurt you. I said God will give you somebody that will bless you and not hurt you. They won't take from you. They're not always a leech. They're givers. They support. They help. They pray. They love. They serve. They honor. Envy is a terrible thing. And the church is full of it. Envy. Envy says, you have what I want. I know I can never have it, so I'm going to destroy yours. Let me tell you something. You can't destroy what God's anointed. You may fight it. You may work against it. But you won't destroy it. The only way it can be destroyed is when that person, that individual, walks away from God. Then it can be destroyed. But up till then, no, sir, you can't stop God. And you can't stop God's calling. Read Paul the Apostle's life. Read his life. In the close, he finally said, I am now ready to be offered. Up to that point, he was impervious. It didn't matter whether it was shipwreck, stonings, hazard of brethren, perils of brethren, dangerment, fastings, watchings. He endured it all. Why? God was with him. That wasn't no easy task. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Satan hinders, but he can't stop. He tried. That's why he's hindering. He's trying to stop, but you won't stop God. You won't stop God. Gamaliel was so wise when he said, brethren, you better be careful lest you be found fighting God. You think you're fighting a bunch of men preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. If this is of God, that's not what you're fighting. You're fighting God. If it's of men, it'll come to naught. You're going to start witnessing more and more. Things come to nothing because it was man-made, man-ordained, man-appointed. God had nothing to do with it. Theudas, he led a rebellion. Sad thing was, 400 followed him. They all died. Old Jimmy Jones talked him into drinking Kool-Aid. Had him a following. Damned every one of them. Be careful who you allow speaking into your hearing. For that a reason and reason alone, I preach the Word of God, because it's not important what I think. It's not important what I say. What is as important is what thus saith the Lord. That is what is important, and nothing else. Times of peril are now here, and they will only become more perilous. More perilous. The peril is here, but it's going to grow exponentially. It's going to grow profusely. It's going to expand. It's going to enlarge. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. The peril is going to grow and grow exponentially. It will now become perilous. The peril is gone. The perilous part now is being made manifest in the earth. God bless you. I'll pick this back up Monday, Lord willing. Thank you for praying for us. Thank those of you for fasting with us. Fasting puts legs to your prayers, moves the heart of God. Jesus can relate to it. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. God will honor your fast, for he'll be a debtor to no man.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.